First Samuel chapter 13. As we're going to go through it, as the Spirit of the Lord wants me to, go through every verse as if your life would depend on it. God will speak to you from that. We all need warnings. We all need to keep ourselves in the love of God. We all need to be very careful. You know, when I read different Bible characters, I see how God used the mighty men of God. I see how they ended well. And I also see many of them who did not end well. The Bible is a true book, full of the truth. It's the breath of God, the word of God. But God's heart is there. He never hid anyone's sin. He never wanted to paint a rosy picture of his people. No. When they were treacherous, he wrote it down. When they were doing good, he wrote it down. When he delighted in them, he wrote it down. When he threw them into the hands of the enemy, he wrote that down. When he discarded them, he wrote them down. And how long was he bearing with them? He wrote that down. And when that forbearance of the Lord ended, he wrote that down. Everything is written in the word of God. Saul was 30 years old, verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 13, when he became king, and he reigned for 42 years. How did Saul become the king? Did he just come and sit on the throne on his own? No. Did he go around and manipulate people and get a team for himself and had a big election? No. Saul was handpicked by God. God chose him. Write this down. God chooses those whom he sees fit at a certain point in their life for a certain task. So God chose Saul for a given task in God's kingdom. God chose Saul for a given task in God's kingdom. Understand that. It was not all of a sudden, Saul, you get up and go sit on that throne. No. It was through the prophet of God, God did that. Where when the prophet of God poured the oil and prayed over him, there was the spirit of God that came upon Saul as a result of a transfer that took place from Samuel to Saul. There's an anointing of God. Laying on of hands is very important. I've taught on this before, that you don't lay a hand on anyone unless God has anointed you for that, because it's a transfer that takes place from you to others and from others to you. Whatever you have can jump on them. Whatever they have can jump on you. You have to be very careful. So don't give your head to anyone and everyone. But when the real anointing of God is upon the genuine servants of God, but God is placed all over the world, though few in number, they are there. When they lay hands on people, there's a transfer that takes place. When they pour something that God tells them to, there's a transfer that takes place. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. Oil itself is not the Holy Spirit. Just like the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove. Dove is not the Holy Spirit. But it was like the form of a dove. Fire itself is not God. But God is a consuming fire. Like the fire that consumes, God is. So we have to be very careful. If we, you know, draw pictures and, you know, call, you know, dove the Holy Spirit, it's wrong. It's bordering on blasphemy. We have to be very careful. The Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity. So Saul was handpicked by God, anointed by God through the prophet God had, brought him before the people through the prophet, and made him the king through the prophet. All of these things happened because at that time, Saul was humble. When God saw in Israel, God saw Saul at that time and God gave him that responsibility. He was 30 years old when he became the king. He was pretty young. Jesus, when he was about 30 years old, he entered into ministry. Very young. Full of the power of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit fully operating, well advanced in their spiritual age than anyone out there. Jesus only ministered for 3.5 years after that. Very short, very powerful, very effective. He died as a young man. On this side of eternity, lives forevermore. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He has no age. He's the ageless one, the ancient of days. Took the form of a humble servant. Humbled himself. And he lived that 33.5 years of humility. Self-sacrifice. Dying to every heavenly rightful power and rights he had, pushed those all away because he loved us. That's the example we should follow. And God brought Saul and gave him this position. Everything was fine. But somewhere down the line, Saul became very self-sufficient. He felt like, I'm the king. I'm the king of Israel. He forgot that Israel was God's nation. He forgot that even though God placed him as the king, God is still leading the nation and the king through the prophet of God that God had placed there. He became very, very, very self-sufficient and liberal in his thinking, influenced by the demonic spirit, just like how they came to Eve, came to Saul also. This can happen to anyone. It can happen to you. It can happen to me if we are not careful. So it's very important to guard ourselves from any form of pride, not even a hint of pride. That's something that I actively pursue. I actively pursue humility. It's an honor for me. If someone spits on my face, it's an honor for me. You know why? I received it for Christ. It's an honor for me when I close my mouth. You know why? I'm following the path of the cross. Humility is something that I cherish, I desire, I'll go after. And by the grace of God, till the day I die, that'll be the garment that'll be there with the robe of righteousness that God has given me. Pride is filthy rags. Understand? Saul was given this position. We're just going to read what he did. Very important. 13 is very important. Saul selected 3,000 special troops from the army of Israel and sent the rest of the men home. He took 2,000 of the chosen men with him to Michmash and the hill country of Bethel. The other 1,000 went with Saul's son Jonathan to Gibeah in the land of Benjamin. Soon after this, Jonathan attacked and defeated the garrison of Philistines at Geba. The news spread quickly among the Philistines. So Saul blew the ram's horn throughout the land, saying, "Hebrews, hear this, rise up in revolt." All Israel heard the news that Saul had destroyed the Philistine garrison at Geba and that the Philistines now hated the Israelites more than ever. So the entire army was summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines mustered a mighty army of 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and as many warriors as the grains of sand on the seashore. I highly recommend you to just read along with me and not only hear. There's something about seeing while you're hearing, because it's the word of God. The men of Israel saw what a tight spot they were in, and because they were hard-pressed by the enemy, they tried to hide in caves, thickets, rocks, holes, and cisterns. Some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land of Gad and Gilead. Meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal. What is happening here? They win, and now they're going after the Philistines. The Philistines now mustered a mighty army of 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and many warriors as the grain of the sand of the seashore. The enemy just became like huge now. The men of Israel saw what a tight spot they were in. And what did they do? They were hard pressed by the enemy. They tried to hide in caves, thickets, rocks, holes, and cisterns. Are these the people of God? Answer me before God today. Are you in a situation like this? When you're hard pressed, you choose to go hide instead of running to God. These people are supposedly God's people. They are God's people, should be God's people. But you know what? In name they are, but their hearts were not there. Who is the leader for this? Saul. Always understand, a leader will reflect the congregation, or the congregation will reflect the leader. The people of a nation will reflect who is sitting as the leader of the nation. Saul, somewhere down the line, he became lukewarm. All the words that the people said when Saul was made the king of Israel, saying, Lord, we will follow the Lord and he will be our God. All those things, where did it go now? God has blessed them with everything that they asked for and much more. And now, when the enemy came in, pressing on every side, you know what? God allowed that to happen. Is the enemy coming and pressing you on every side? Know that for sure. God has allowed it to happen to see what's in your heart at this hour. God is allowing whatever is happening in your life to see what you're really made up of. Will you be able to press into the presence of God? Are you pressing into the presence of God more than ever before? Whatever is happening to you, whatever is trying to crush you, should be the very thing that will make you into everything that God wants you to be, because you just latch on to Jesus during the time of your trial. An honest and an upright heart will not regret doing the will of God. When delusion sets in, Satan will come to bring regrets. Oh, I regret doing the will of God. I wish I never did that. I wish I never did that because of this, all these things are happening. That is the voice of Lucifer. Every step you take towards God's presence and towards getting closer to God is a step in the right direction, is a step to save your life. Any other step, on the other hand, will destroy. I have said this before, and I will say this again as the Lord wants me to. Someone that we know many, many years ago, this happened before I was born, I believe, but this happened to someone our family knew. And this man was the most famous musician back then in India during that time, from a Christian home. And he had his wife, he had no children. Nobody knew where he went out of his house and where he was, because he was a famous musician. So he would go for recordings and he would go for, you know, whatever. And he was a musician who played for Christian recordings as well as in the secular music, movie industry. Movie industry and secular industry is like sewer river. Understand, it's a sewer river. You want to see filth, you can go see filth. If you want to drown in that filth, you can go there. Whether you bring that into your house, or you go sit at a movie theater, it's the same thing. You don't have to go, right? These days, you don't have to go to a filthy bookstore to go and see anything filthy, or go into a movie theater to watch anything filthy. It comes right to your house, right on your phones. What are you opening yourself up to? All those filthy spirits, will they harass you? They will harass you. Will they take you to hell? Absolutely, if you don't repent. That's their goal. That's their goal. Like I said before, whatever you give yourself over to, that is Satan's weapon to hit you. If it's the alcohol, he takes a bottle and he hits you on your head with that bottle. If it's cigarette, he takes that cigarette and he hits you on your head with that cigarette. That's the way he marks you, that you are his. Mark you with alcohol, mark you with cigarettes, mark you with drugs, mark you with immorality. That's what he does. All those who willingly give themselves over, and this is the image God gave me when I was speaking a couple of weeks ago, that you go and you bow yourself to that particular demon and you say, here, find me. That's the worst thing, sickening thing. when Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost and set you free, and he's there to set you free. For a person to stand before alcohol and say, whip me, beat me up with that bottle. For a person to stand before that secret demon and say, look, burn me with that. Have all secret marks on you? Abuse. Who is abusing you? And who wants to be abused? And who is in that abusive relationship with those abusive demons who will take you to hell? May God speak to your hearts today. Same thing goes for immorality. I'm sick and tired many times of people hearing that, oh, my wife is this, my wife is not that, my wife is this, or my husband this, and that's why I fell into immorality. Stop lying to yourself. Take responsibility for your own action. Be a man if you're a man. Be a woman if you're a woman. Because God sees you right through. Be real for a change, the Holy Spirit is speaking. Be real for a change. Don't lie because God sees you right through. If you have a problem, say that you have a problem. Bring it to the shepherds of God. Seek deliverance and get out of this trap before you are choked to death right in that trap by the very thing that you yourself gave yourself over to. Satan is not your friend. He can never be a friend. He can never be a friend. He's your enemy, the master deceiver. So this man lived a double life. No one knew. There was something that was going on. Oh, I have the studio thing. I have this recording thing. I have to play here. Makes a lot of money. Very popular. Especially back in those days. You had no cell phones, no nothing. If you say bye to your spouse and you leave, that's all your spouse knows. But you know what? The eyes of God goes right with you wherever you are. Whatever horrible thing you're watching, God is watching you. You bring Satan right to your bedroom. God is watching. It is going in that book of remembrance on such and such a date. This is what this man was watching. And the demons have a big book. They say, on such and such a date, this is what this man was watching. They did everything. He did everything I said. She did everything I said. Guess what? Before you know, all of a sudden, it'll be over. This man died. Where? In the house and in the place of another woman that he was frequenting. Well, didn't it happen to Samson? Where was he trapped and where was his eyes removed? Where was his anointing gone? Where? In the house of another woman. Well, now everyone knew. Your sin will find you out. Write it down. Your sin will find you out. Tell yourself, my sin will find me out if I don't bring it out now. It will come out as an ugly disgrace. Your children will know. Your generation will know. Everyone will know. God will make sure. This is a prophecy. It's the voice of God I'm saying it. God will make sure he'll bring it out to the public. It has happened for so many people who went to the top and were filled with disgrace because they thought they can play church. Your sin will find you out. So the best thing to do is go to God and say, Lord, I know it's going to come out anyway. So I'm going to bring it out so that you can take it away. I hate the way the enemy is abusing me. I hate the way that I'm giving myself to be abused. What kind of a lifestyle is that? Meanwhile, if their spouse tells them to do something, oh, who are you to tell me? I don't want to be told. But they will do whatever the abuser, the demon tells them to. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I will do whatever you say. You want me to run to get the cigarette? I'm running. Servant, slave, shamelessly, of whatever Satan is telling you to do. Oh, go look at this thing. Oh, I'm looking at it right now. Go look at that wicked thing. I'm looking at it right now. May God help us. Be true, be true, be true. God is speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to your heart today. Be real in the presence of God. Be real. See, when your husband tells you to do something, I don't want to be told. Meanwhile, you're doing whatever the evil spirit is telling you to do. Anger, slander, everything, gossip. How come you're so quick to listen to the evil spirit that is brutally destroying you? How come you're not listening to the voice of God who's trying to save you, give you life? How come? God is speaking. God is directly speaking to us today. This must end. Tell yourself. Call yourself by your name. If you have to pull yourself by your own collar and tell yourself, this got to end this day. hypocrisy got to end this day. Living a double life has got to end this day because God will bring it to the open. If he has said it, it will happen. But there's grace available. God says you don't have to live that way. Seek the counsel that comes from God and just do it. It's not hard. It's not hard. Saul, yes, God's grace was there. Do you know what? He just lost it. He lost every bit of thing God gave. Because rebellion was allowed in his heart. He just did his own thing. Now, because of that, what happens? The people are reflecting his behavior. The enemy came. Instead of crying out to God, saying, God, tell us what we should do. And if they don't hear God, then they have to say, Lord, forgive me, and look at their life and see where they failed God, where they were treacherous to God. Understand this. I want to say this as the Holy Spirit is bringing me. Just share this with you. Read from the book of Malachi. Read Malachi 2, Malachi 1. There's a specific curse that will come from God when you're unfaithful to your wife. Doesn't mean that you have to sleep around with people physically. Whatever you are dealing with, flirting, watching pornography, or frequenting sites that you shouldn't be, chat sites, whatever it is. Whatever you do behind the back of your spouse, you are dealing treacherously with the wife that you have made covenant with, and God will hold you accountable. And there's a specific curse that is written for those people. God says, you will be under my curse. Understand this. That's the worst place for anyone to be. It's under the curse of God. It's worse than the curse of man. And if you want to get yourself out of the curse of God, you need to come clean before God. God says, I will reverse that. I will take the curse away and just flood you with a blessing. But you have to be honest before God. Be honest before God. Whether you're a man or a woman, this goes for both genders. It goes for both genders. Whatever is in your heart, say it so that you can get delivered. Don't have it inside and lead a double life because your sin will find you out. When you need help, get the help that you need. Don't play like you're holy when you're not. Get the help that you need. God is speaking to you. That's why Saul failed miserably. Saul was so confident in himself while he was doing wrong. He thought, oh, God picked me. God chose me. Many people think God chose me. But you know what? A lot of chosen people are in hell today, where the worm doesn't die and the fire is not put. Once your life is over, you know what? No matter how much you cry and beg and plead God, you cannot come back. You cannot come back. You cannot climb out of hell. Understand that. You cannot come out of hell. Your time is today. That man died. Man that I was talking about, he died. Everyone knew that he lived an adulterous life. You know, when you have a dead body in a house, you have to call people, right, to get that out. Imagine how his wife would have felt. Imagine what a shame for his relatives. Imagine everyone knowing. Your sin shall find you out. Now everybody has what? A very bad, ugly memory of this person as long as they all live. This didn't have to happen that way. But it happened. You know why? The man thought he was smart. He thought he was going to live up to 80 something because his father and his mother and his grandparents, oh, they all lived really old. But he didn't even get past mid-40s. God showed up. See, God gives a long rope. Just because he gives a long rope doesn't mean that rope is forever. God waits for the cup of iniquity to be filled before he wipes people out. That means what? Even if there's 3/4, he's willing to forgive. Even if your cup is 3/4 of iniquity, 3/4 full of iniquity. God says, I can take that away and I can put that in the garbage. I'm willing to repent now. I'm willing to change now. They're willing to be honest with yourself, honest with your shepherds, honest with God. Don't say everything is well when it is not. Don't say, I can handle it. You can't. Have you been able to handle it all these years? No. When you can't handle it, admit that you need help. The worst thing for someone to do is have cancer and think that I can handle it at home. I can go and make some tea and drink it. You will drink yourself to death. Painful death. Don't do that. When it comes to deliverance, don't hide your sin. Don't hide your hurt. Don't hide your anger to God or the servants of God. God has placed over your life. Be honest. Be true. This is what is going on with me. I need help. That's all. Simple. Very simple sentence. You don't even have to call and say, just send a text. God has put shepherds over you who are compassionate, have the heart of God. He's not going to condemn you, but will give you exactly what God says to them. They won't say what you want to hear. They'll give you exactly what God says. And at that point, you're held accountable to the plan of God that God has given to you in order to pull you out of that. And along with that will come the deliverance. So because of what Saul did, there's a decline over here in the whole country where the people, they're all filled with fear. Instead of going to God, they are all becoming something other than what God's people should represent. Now, Saul stayed in Gilgal and his men were trembling with fear. You see this pattern all along. They're all afraid. They're all afraid. They're all afraid. They're all afraid all the time. Afraid. Fear brings torment. When sin comes, fear will come with it. Torment will come with it. Mental torment is not a nice thing. Emotional torment is torturous. Why will you let the enemy torment you and torture you? When God wants to pull you out and make you into his star, God's superstar. Why will you not want to be in that great picture of God that God has for you? So you can become a useful vessel in the hands of the Almighty God. If that one star could stand there and lead the way for the wise men who came from the east all the way to where Jesus was. That was his job. It finished it. That was it. Three people or however, how many ever. The Bible doesn't say three wise men. It says wise men from the east based on the gifts. Many times we assume there were three. So how many of the wise men there were? The star was a blessing to those number of wise men. Think about this. The star did the will of God. Stayed there, shone there bright for the period of time it was placed there. That's all. My job is that. Your job is that. Stay where God wants you to and shine as long as he wants you to. And once it's over, you return back to your home station. Be with God to receive your reward. For your faithfulness to God. And for God giving the privilege to be his star. To shine for him. God is speaking to your hearts today. Don't be like Saul. God chose Saul. God has chosen you too. Saul began declining. And as a result of that, he was filled with fear. His people were filled with fear. And what did he do? Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier. But Samuel still didn't come. There was a specific instruction given by the prophet of God to Saul. Stay there for 7 days, and I will come. But Samuel didn't come. Now, did Samuel lie? Did Samuel not keep his word? Understand, God sometimes will give a specific instruction. Okay, I'll come at this time, or I will do this time, and the Spirit of the Lord will prolong. It's a test for Saul. Not because Samuel was disorganized and Samuel, you know, didn't keep everything together and Samuel, you know, had a habit of going late. No. It was a test for Saul. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel as Samuel had instructed him earlier, but Samuel didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away. What is Saul seeing? Saul is seeing what is going on there. That his troops are slipping away. They're just going away from him. And what else happens? So he demanded, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offering. And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Who's supposed to sacrifice? Samuel, the prophet. That was not Saul's place at all. God spoke to us about that during the past 2 days, 2 times. It's the third time. I'm amazed. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit is speaking. Know your place and stay in that place. Don't meddle with affairs that doesn't belong to you. He was not supposed to make that sacrifice. He was anointed as king, not as a prophet and a priest. So that's not his area. His job was to wait for the prophet of God to come there. Even if it took time, his job was not to do the work of the prophet and the priest. It was to wait. Because you know what? Even if it delays, it's God who is involved in this. He's withholding the prophet for a specific reason. I have to wait. It's a test of faith in God. It's a test. Patience. There are people like that. If I don't hear from the pastor, I'm going to do it on my own. Do it and see what will happen. Because the character has to be there on the inside. Do you believe that God will speak through the servant of God God has placed over your life? Wait. Don't move an inch. Wait. Many times that waiting will turn into a blessing for you. What happened here? He did what he should not have done. He demanded, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. He presumptuously touched the work of the Lord that he should not have touched, which was exclusively kept for the anointed one who was given that task to do before God. Just as Saul was finished with the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. Look how God timed it. It was a test for Saul. Just when he finished everything, Samuel arrived. So what is the point over here? Presumptuous sin will come in when you let fear to dominate. Fear will come in when the fear of the Lord is out the window. When there's no fear of the Lord, then other fear, irreverential fear, fear of man, fear of what the devil would do, fear of what you're seeing will get in. So it's very important to keep the fear of God in front of you. If you fear God, you know he has everything in the palm of his hands. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. Jesus, when he heard Lazarus was dead, he stayed there for 2 more days, knowing that what he was going to do. So whatever God does, whenever there's a delay, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. God does something in the time of the delay. Many times it's a test on the other side. Whether you're willing to wait, whether you're willing to trust him that he will show up, because he said he will come. Even though he said he'll come within 7 days and it looked like he didn't keep his word, it's a test for you. God is holding Samuel back and he's sending him on purpose. He timed it so perfectly to test Saul, what Saul had in his heart. It's not that, oh, God pushed Saul to do this. No. What was inside Saul just came out. And he thought that he was bigger than Samuel. Oh, well, why should only Samuel offer the sacrifice? I can do it too. I was anointed too, but he forgot. These two are different types of anointing. It was presumption. I can step into that role and I can do it myself and I can go to war and I can win. You know what? It was a disaster. Know your place in the house of God. Stick with it. It'll be a blessing. It'll be a great blessing. Just as Saul finished with the burnt offering, Samuel arrived and Saul went out to meet and welcome him. There was no remorse. That's an delusion. It's so visible. Because the moment you do something wrong, then the heart becomes harder. He's going as if everything was right. He was going as if he didn't do anything wrong. He was going with the attitude that, Samuel, you're late. He thought he can speak over Samuel. He thought he can accuse Samuel. He lost his mind that God, who anointed Samuel, is leading Samuel every step of the way. to bring what was in Saul's heart. Samuel said, "What is this you have done?" Saul replied, "I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would, and the Philistines are at Michmash ready for battle. So I said the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came." "How foolish," Samuel exclaimed. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever." Understand this. This is the key thing that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. This was a test in Saul's life for Saul's promotion. God didn't allow this to happen so that he can pull Saul away. No. It was for Saul's promotion, but what happened? Saul chose to forfeit what God had for him. By arrogantly, presumptuously going against God's commands. He's accusing Samuel, saying that you came late. You didn't keep your word. I waited for you and I did what I had to do. Patience is essential when you serve God, whatever capacity God has. Not being patient, saying that, oh, pastor's not coming, pastor's not calling, pastor's not doing this, I'm going to do my own thing. It can be a disaster, understand? You've reached out for help and the Lord has said, through the pastor, I will call you this week, even if it doesn't happen that week. Know that. You wait and God will have it happen. The word from the Lord comes, it's very important to hold on to that word and be patient. Not get agitated, impulsive. Do whatever you want to do. If the Lord tells you, through your shepherd, by today evening, you're going to get a call, and you don't get it by today evening, you need to learn to trust God and wait. That means nothing is going to go wrong, even if it looks like it's going wrong. That's what happened to Saul. Everything looked like it was going wrong. All of a sudden, the enemies were closing in and people were getting scattered and all these things are happening. The troops are slowly starting to go. But he could have cried out to God without offering the sacrifice. And he should have just said, "Lord, bring Samuel soon, or I know you won't do anything until Samuel comes and I'll wait." You know what? He didn't have the faith for that. But he had so much presumption that he said, "I can do what Samuel does and I can get God's help." How will God help? How will God help someone who just went straight against the command of God when God had said, wait, through Samuel, that I will be there in 7 days? Understand, there's a deeper word from God. God is speaking to today. Learn to be the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ by denying yourself, picking up your cross and following him. That's the first step. If I can't deny myself, which is looking at what's going on and, you know, getting like emotionally uptight and getting like all perplexed and all like, you know, all over the place and I need answers, I need now, you know, I can't take it. Slow down. Because that's the enemy that is trying to press in, the enemy that's trying to close in, the enemy is trying to make everything to push you into doing something wrong. You know why? It comes at a lack of faith. It'll make you presumptuous and have you push someone else to become presumptuous. That's what happened to Eve. Not only did she eat the fruit, she had her husband eat the fruit too. That's what hastiness will happen. Hastiness will cause somebody to do. They get nervous, they get fearful, they get the other person fearful, they get the other person unbelieving, and both of them go down the drain. God is speaking to your heart today. I'm going to read this verse and we're going to conclude for tonight. Verse 13. "How foolish," Samuel exclaimed. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end. For the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the command, the Lord's command." What happens here? The moment he did the presumptuous act, while Samuel was coming itself, God reveals to Samuel. That's the call of the prophet. While you're doing something, God will reveal. And all of a sudden, the course of action is taken by God in a different direction There's a change that comes. Not because God made a mistake when he chose Saul. No. God did it right. Saul went wrong. And so God had to find a replacement for Saul. But even then, I'll show you, as the Lord wants me to, when we come back on Thursday. Very important for us to know. Even in this situation, the grace of God was still there for Saul. If he would have repented here, God would have forgiven him. But Saul did not. That's the worst part. Saul did not. God is speaking to our hearts. Don't be hasty. Don't just do your own thing. Don't be without seeking out. Don't be without seeking the help that you need. If you are drowning, spell it as it is and say, I am drowning. When you're drowning, don't pretend like you're the best swimmer in the world and try to put up a scene. When you're dead, the whole world will know that you drowned. Be honest. Don't wait till God brings things outside and makes it public. But be sincere. If you have leprosy, go to your Elisha that God has and say that I have leprosy. If you have a problem, go to God and go to the servants of God. God has just opened your heart and speak. It's like how you go to a physician. No matter where you have a problem in your body, you go to that particular specialist and you will say, I have a problem there. You're not going to be embarrassed at that time. No, if you know that this is going to cause death for me, you're not going to, at that time, you're going to seek every help that you need. Be that way. Choose life. Choose life. I pray that you may have the desire that comes from God today to live, to choose life. Don't let the enemy take you down. You're not born to be defeated. You're born to overcome. God has something far glorious for each one of you here. Defeat should not be in our vocabulary because it's not in God's dictionary for his children. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph through Christ Jesus. The power of God is present here at this hour. Understand the seriousness of what is going on in your life. What is happening in the spirit realm? Once this life is over, there's no coming back. I don't know why. This is not the favorite kind of thing that I would preach with great joy. But you know what? With great sorrow and burden, I'm giving this every time the Lord tells me to. I just pray with all my heart. There's something we like doing, child dedication. We like doing weddings. We don't like doing funerals. I really pray that it doesn't happen. No premature death should take place in our church. God has been speaking over and over again so many times. I've been saying this. I know God is saying it. Escape any and every form of premature death. You're doing the will of God. If someone closes their eyes having done the will of God, all heaven will rejoice. There will be, in that funeral, it'll be a grand, grand send-off party. Because a mighty warrior has completed the race and have gone to God and will rejoice because we too will see them one day. Not anyone dying prematurely as a result of rebellion. God kept Saul. He had a tormented life after that. God is able to take away everything, your torment. If you would come clean before God, tell God, Lord, I want to really live a righteous life. Death is not an option, understand. If you're not living right, death is the worst thing that can happen to you because when you die, that's when you're going to live even. You're going to be more alive than how you are here. Except you're going to feel pain more. You're going to feel torment more because Satan will torment you mentally. He'll torment you physically. He'll torment you in every way. You'll be in a place of no return, crying to come out, crying for mercy. No mercy there, because you know why? God cried out for you as long as you were alive here. And you didn't pay attention to him. You ignored him. But in hell, as Abraham said, there's a big divide between heaven and hell. No one from here can go there. No one can come from there to here. Those are two different worlds. Just like how we cannot go from here and land in the planet called sun. Nobody can even go halfway, they'll get burned. Heaven is like that. It's a place of holiness. God gives that, imputes that righteousness to those who would receive his blood and keep that righteousness alive by walking in the righteousness of Christ, by doing that which is right before God. Very simple. If you have a problem, reach out. If you have a problem, be honest and reach out. Reach out. Whatever it is, whatever ugliness it is, shall we close our eyes and look to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.